It's August 30th and it's really hot, so I'm not going to turn off my air conditioning for the intro, so deal with it. This week we're going to talk about The Elder Scrolls Online, Saints Row 4, and we ask you, do you have class? Welcome to the 32nd level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
My name is Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody who's listening and everybody else who is on the mic with us. David wasn't able to join because he just started school. Dr. Moneysmith. I assume he's... Is it a doctor or is it a master's?
No, probably he's going doctor.
He's going doctor. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, you can't pass up on a name like that.
No, you can't. Wow, Dr. Moneysmith. That works out pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I'm hoping for either some kind of like honorary or posthumous doctorate.
Zombie like, Dr. Cole.
Well, no. Just so they can go back and like reaffix some kind of placard, some kind of engraving to my. Well, let's be honest here. I'm going to be buried in a pauper's grave, but somebody will know.
Oh, we'll do a sky burial whether or not you want it.
Yeah, you'll exhume me. Just try and keep Cole's body underground. Oh man, has anybody had anything remarkable happen to them in the past week?
Played Saints Row the Fourth.
Mm. Okay, well, we have a section for that. I was just wondering. It's always nice to ask a little bit.
So yeah, nothing earth shattering.
Yeah, no, it's both of us. It kind of is. They kind of shatter the earth in that game. Ah, man, we're jumping ahead so far. We're jumping ahead so far in the show, at least like 20 minutes. Oh,
I'm just saying, it's generous. That's the only brightness in the darkness of my life right now.
Oh, okay, cool. No. Hey, you know what? The whole morose, like, that's my shtick, so I would ask you to... I would kindly ask you to back the fuck off.
Would you kindly?
would you kindly step? Okay. So we got the huge. We're going to be talking about some things that are happening in the world vis-a-vis video game news, talking about what we've been playing, and then we've got a multiplayer question that is, strangely enough, about multiplayer. So why don't we get right to it?
Mm-hmm.
So guys, anything happening in this world? Dennis, it's been a little bit since you've been here. Have you seen anything?
I know.
I've been
I skip a week and you guys do two episodes, so I feel like I should skip more often.
Yeah, no, you're holding us back.
I know. There's a burst of productivity. So
yeah. Oh, and if you're here as runoff from the Gone Home episode, thank you for sticking around and listening. We're very happy.
I'm sorry to bring it back down.
Well, you know, we can't all be Zach Johnsons, however hard we try, or Bob Mackey's, or Bob's Mackey. There we go.
But
attorney's Mackey, yes. So, man, come on. You're lucky I don't ask it. Give me two.
This is more. You guys might have even talked about it. I don't know. I'm midway through the episode that I missed. But it just Elder Scrolls, huh? Why?
What do you mean?
They're charging a monthly subscription in addition to a $60 price point for the game out of the box. So, it's cringeworthy.
It's funny because that's what I brought as well. So this is
Let's rap about it.
Yeah, let's okay. Let me turn my chair around and then also put my hat sideways and then just kind of like sit down there and say, you know what, we've had a lot of fun here today. But seriously, Elder Scrolls. So
where we won't be having fun.
Yeah, I'm not too terribly concerned with them doing a subscription model MMO. At least as regards the customer, right? I'm concerned for them at, you know, like with that being a successful model in the future. I about said going forward, and I literally would have had to like light a cigarette and put it out on my forearm for saying going forward. But I don't even smoke, so I have to go like buy a cigarette.
This is a very involved process of self-abuse here.
Yeah. I'm afraid to drive, so I'd have to walk. It's just it's a whole big thing. It's just a whole production. So no, I'm concerned, like, you know, like even World of Warcraft is having trouble getting people to pay $15 a month to do their thing, right?
Yeah, it's now only like the 16th largest nation in the world or something.
I suppose.
Or they were up to number 11 at some point, number 10.
So EverQuest was up to number 11 for a little bit. I don't know about WoW. I assume that WoW may have gotten higher.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah. I think your point is right. Like, for the four people who are willing to pay the subscription, it's going to be, I'm sure it'll be a high quality game. Yeah. And it'll last for about a month and then it'll crash and burn.
Well, okay, so the question is, the thing that happens with these games more and more frequently, and like we've seen enough WoW expansions to see this borne out, but people will either buy the expansion and subscribe and play until they hit the level cap and see whatever content they want and then go away. And the thing about Elder Scrolls really is, like, yeah, there's a lot of content there, but generally it's only about like maybe 200 hours at most. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and again, my only point of reference is EverQuest. If I did a slash play on my main EverQuest character from like back in eighth grade, it'd be like 4 days of, most people, many, many more than that. So how do you keep people around for what is realistically several months, or more than a couple of months, which is what it usually takes people to beat all the content in an Elder Scrolls game? Like, the obvious answer is just keep putting out more content, but that's not entirely sustainable, I don't think.
I think what's really going on here is like Pascal's theory about MMOs. So you've heard Pascal's theory on God.
Pascal's wager, yes. Which is it's better to believe and be wrong than to not believe and be wrong.
Right, right. So if you start out on a paid subscription and everyone hates you, you can go to free to play. But if you start out on free to play, there's no way you can ever go to a subscription model. Yeah. So, you might as well start on a paid model, even if everyone hates you.
So this is incredibly ignorant of me, but is Elder Scrolls Online going to come out for the next generation of consoles, by which I mean PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, or is it current gen?
That is either not an ignorant question or you are just in an ignorant audience, because I don't know.
Yeah. And also, a large part of the audience for Elder Scrolls is on PC, where people are used to paying subscription fees anyway, right?
Are they? That's like, it's becoming less and less of a thing.
Kind of, but I mean, you see, look at, like, I guess the most recent one was either The Secret World or Star Wars The Old Republic, right? Yeah, it's becoming more rare. It's rarer than it was in, between, like, 2004 and 2005, where you had, like, Asheron's Call and Lineage and all those things.
Do consoles even have paid subscription games?
Yeah. So there's an Xbox 360 version of Final Fantasy XI.
Okay,
That's the big one that I know of.
Wasn't there? It was EverQuest or something. You had to buy an extra thing for your PS2.
Yeah, it was EverQuest Online Adventures, but that was back when you had to buy the. It's when you had to buy the network adapter for it.
Was that? It was just the network adapter.
Yeah.
Oh,
Final Fantasy XI was one that came on the hard drive.
It seems a little unfair to have two subscription services, one through the console and one through the game.
So that's actually something that was the brunt of my story. I wasn't too terribly surprised that they were going subscription anyway, just because it's Bethesda. I don't want to say that they're like stodgy. They make really good stuff, but I don't like they don't have a history of like, okay, let's get the talent in here to figure out how to monetize this thing when we don't have people paying directly for it. Bethesda is pretty much always, let's make content and then charge people for it, which is a model that I'm more comfortable with, just in general. But the story that I was going to say is, yes, it is unfair, and Bethesda thinks so as well. They're working with Microsoft to try and waive the requirement to have Xbox Live Gold in order to play this. So the idea is that, like, if you're just interested in playing the Elder Scrolls Online on the Xbox, which again, large amounts of people do want to play Elder Scrolls on the Xbox, and there is something of a demand for that in the console market, I think, at least there was back when I was working retail, that you shouldn't have to pay for gold. However, there is like less than zero chance of Microsoft giving on that. They didn't give for Square. Well, you know, Slay, like Square attempted to do the same thing for the aforementioned Final Fantasy XI, like Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, that is a can of worms, because it's like, if they let one game do it, then other games are like, well, you let this game do it. Why can't we do it?
You know? They're special. Well, I'm not special. Yeah. And so like EA could be like, well, you know, we're requiring people to buy EA bucks in order to play ours. So anybody who wants to play EA, like, it makes sense for Microsoft to hold the line on that, because, you know, as we kind of go forward, these, you know, the console manufacturers are going to be more comfortable selling their systems at a loss for longer if they can hook people into recurring revenue through the subscriptions. You know, I'm pretty much convinced that's why, you know, that's why Sony made the choice they did about playing online, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like that is a way for the platforms to be sustainable. So like, it doesn't make sense for Microsoft to do that. And if they say no, okay, so Microsoft says no. Here's Pascal's wager for you. Microsoft says no, and they just look like we're upholding policy. And if Bethesda says, well, we're still charging anyway, they look like dicks who are charging too much money. You know,
it's Pascal's prisoner's dilemma wager.
Yes, Pascal's cat.
Pascal's prison cat.
So yeah, you're right, Ben. It is a little bit kooky. But not everybody has a PC that can run it. Not everybody who wants to play Elder Scrolls Online has a PC that can run it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people are kind of over a barrel. Or an ornate treasure chest full of their own gold. Yes. their own Xbox Live gold.
Boom,
he takes it back home
and save us
Ben, save us. Hey, our stories.
I have something that's not that. My story for this week, coinciding with my growing anticipation for Grand Theft Auto 5, is a story about how apparently so I think I talked about this a week or two ago about the GTA Online, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
All right. But they released new information about it that when making your character, they will have some preset images that not only can you choose from, but you can also choose hereditary features of. So, like, they have presets such as Nico, Misty, and Claude from the first Grand Theft Auto, or Grand Theft Auto 3. And what you can do is you can choose these people as father of or mother of and make a character that way.
Huh.
So it's like Grand Theft Auto eugenics, kind of. Or, well, I mean, it can turn into that. I don't know. Whatever. It can turn.
So what they need is just facial recognition software and let you do, like, what if Bill Clinton married Nico and, you know, the donor was...
That's a good question. Yeah. What are they going to be... PC and have like all possible genders, even though
you know, I would totally play that game as Bill Clinton.
Although I don't know what,
it's,
how would that work?
I'm just kind of freaked out by this image that I'm seeing here. It looks like either a bad caricature of Nico or like bad cosplay of him. It's upsetting, quite frankly.
Upsetting. It really is.
Why so?
I don't know.
I mean, the fact that he's wearing the same clothes is kind of weird.
You know what? Yeah. It's like if I dressed up as my dad. I don't...
No, I think what it is I'm seeing an image of Nico without anyone shouting, Nico!
My cousin!
I'm
leaving with the Roman. Yeah.
Hey, my name's Brucey. That's not how he talked. That's just how I think he should talk based on how he looks.
Based on the city he's in.
Yeah.
It's a me. You're a cousin. Oh, shit. No.
Yeah, I lost Sorry. It. Lost yeah. it.
So
I mean, any way that they can bring a little bit of like random character generation that doesn't make people look like monsters. Mm-hmm. Let's granted here, those eyebrows are pretty monstrous on this dude. But... It's just kind of like, hey, it's almost like a seed in Minecraft, right? You're just choosing the seed for your character, literally. So, if you guys don't stop me, I'm just going to keep doing it.
No, keep going. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, let's see how far down the rabbit hole goes.
Let's burn this mother down. Yeah. Oh, but that's only in the game's collector's edition.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that point.
Yeah.
Save up.
I don't know.
Did you see that Saints Row 4 had a special edition that sold for $1 million?
Yeah, it included real plastic surgery.
I did not hear that. I heard about the Lamborghini. I did not hear about the plastic surgery.
Yeah. It's like you buy it and then like, yeah, you can get some plastic surgery. It's cool.
Wow.
So their profit for it is $60.
Yeah. All that and all the publicity around. Yeah, you know what? If you're looking at the gamut of options and one of them is $60, one of them's $80, one of them's like $150, and one's $1 million, maybe I'm more comfortable with the $80 one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which just comes with really bad plastic surgery.
Spoiler alert, you have to do the surgery with the game case.
No, you have to do Surgeon Simulator 2013.
Damn it, you took it from me. Spoiler alert, the robot that's doing the surgery is being controlled by somebody playing Surgeon Simulator. And that's funny. That comes out like in a week, right?
GTA 5?
GTA 5, right?
No, there's no way.
It comes out like literally yesterday. Comes out yesterday.
Pick that up. September 17th.
Okay, so like 4 years ago. All right, I gotcha.
That's right.
It's September 17th,
2009.
It's weird. It was really poorly marketed. And you're still looking forward to it after playing Saints Row?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saints Row is simply tiding me over to Grand Theft Auto 5.
It's the appetizer.
Yep.
Hmm. Well, since we've talked about news, why don't we go on to the main course?
Like it.
Okay. I can't go until I get... I have to have a quorum present.
Do I have to say something?
Because there was... It was in the episode I was listening to. You were like, hey, should we go ahead? Or, are you guys good? Do you mind if we move on? And then it was like, yes. You're like, okay, moving on.
It's a fun little game I play.
Ben, he would never disrespect you that way if I was there.
Sorry, dude. You're holding me back, Dennis.
The grind.
So it's time for the grind, where we talk about games that we've been playing and junk. So Ben and I both have something. Dennis, since you missed last week, we're going to have to ask you to take a knee real quick.
Yeah, I will. I don't think I could stand in the way of this if I tried.
No, you couldn't. I would mute you. I would disconnect. I would boot you from this call. Damn it!
Sorry, you're egging up. Just go ahead. I am resigned to my fate.
Turn into a car robot. So Ben, tell me what you think of Grand. Saints Row 4.
Just out of curiosity, are you going to edit that out or keep that in?
No, it's staying.
All right, good. Saints Row the Four, it's cool. Gameplay-wise, it's like it's similar to Saints Row 3.
Yeah.
As far as like you're in pretty much the same city.
Yeah, the same world.
Traveling's a little bit different. Upgrade system's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But you're basically buying and playing this game for the missions, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you concur, Mr. Ross?
I concur. Right. I forget where I heard it, just given how many podcasts I listen to every day for research purposes. But I've heard it compared to Video Game, the video game. It's
Yeah.
I think I got that text from you.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
Yeah. Saints Row kind of has this reputation right now, or has had, and over the course of the first two games, like really earned it for being like, hey guys, gangs, am I right? Lol. And 3 kind of had like a little bit of that, just doing storming a penthouse, apartment while Kanye West played. you know, things like that. But it, like, 3 eventually turned into this crazy, twisted version of itself that was so completely self-aware that, like, any of the nudity or, like, some of these voice actresses are porn stars, or I'm whacking people with a giant dildo, quickly fell to the back, you know, in terms of the aesthetic. And I'm speaking with people, and it's more than one. So if you're listening and you think that I'm speaking entirely to you, I'm not.
You're not that special.
Yeah, it's like people at work, and it's like people at work who are like, man, I can't give it a chance because of the aesthetics. Just, you know, because it's like this one, it starts out so crazy and gets crazier. And yes, the porn stars and the nudity and the dildren are off in the margins, but they're like are there, but they're so off in the margins behind this weird Mass Effect 2 Matrix / Crackdown / I don't even know what parody of video games in general that, like, is so well pulled off that I can't think of anything else that has done it that well.
It kind of invented its own genre, right? Because its genre is essentially critiquing different types of games.
Just a little bit. And
through missions.
So think about it this way. Spoilers are off on Saints Row 3. It took them, like, it was like not until the last, like, quarter of the game that you started going against the Deckers, and you had like the little text adventure stuff in this one. And spoilers on this are just going to be, like, a little bit hard to, like, dance around, just because the cool stuff that it makes you do, even knowing that it happens, you're going to be looking out for it. But, like, in this one, you do stuff like that in the first, I would say, it's like your first loyalty mission or whatever.
Do you think they realized when they released Saints Row the Third that how much people were going to like those parts? I feel like in Saints Row the Third, they kind of stumbled into that. I mean, and definitely they were trying to be over the top and mix things up and do funny call outs to different video game genres. But it sounds like they realized that was the true core of it for Saints Row the Third and went for it. Or Saints Row the Fourth. Saints Row 4?
Saints Row 4. It's not the Fourth, although I make that mistake quite frequently. I can't speak to, like, what the development or thought process behind this was, but Saints Row 4 was initially going to be a piece of DLC for Saints Row 3 called Enter the Dominatrix, and that's why the world map is pretty good, right? Like, in a bad way, but it's pretty good.
That should be the subtitle of this game.
Pretty good, but in a bad way.
Gaming has found its Sharknado.
and so it didn't come out. And I think that once Saints Row 3 got really popular for a lot of those reasons, we're like, okay, we're making an expansion that leverages the stuff that everybody's talking about in this game, right? Just to, you know, just like as absurd as it goes. So why don't we just make that into the next thing?
Right? I bet people would pay $60 for this.
And they did. We do. And so, just to give you a sense for what happens in the first 20 minutes, and this would be a whole other game and other stuff. The opening mission is a parody of we're going after okay? There's a scene where you yourself on Erasmus plays. You parachute, you land, you crash through the ceiling of the into the 5 years later, you are the your first moral choice is whether to or solve and then destroy the and fall of huge, like, simulation. That's like the first 20 minutes.
I was going to say, you might want to put a spoiler alert on that one.
It sounded like he just had a seizure and started spouting snippets from.
Okay. So if you think that, then I'll go back and do like a beep on some of the specific. I want people to know, like, the number of things that happen there. But yeah. So I'll go ahead and beep that out.
Post editing, this is going to sound like one of those erotic pleasure games.
Then you sacrifice a beep. beep.
Yeah. So, but just like the, like that, that last part of the setup, the computer simulation thing, explains why you are in an altered version of the locale of the first game. And it speaks to one of the best things I like that I have to say about it, which is the movement, man, the movement.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
you don't know how you got around before.
Yeah. Like, there have been missions where they make me get into a car, and like, this is the worst. So your goal in the game is like to break the simulation, right? And so Kinsey, your geek chick, she basically breaks your code, and you collect all these data clusters, which are like the collectibles in Crackdown that you can invest into both sprinting and super jumps.
Mm-hmm.
So think about like the best thing in City of Heroes was picking like super jump as your movement thing, and then just bounding across the city, like jumping to the tops of buildings and jumping across rivers and stuff. Like, that's what this is, and it is so fun just to run around this city collecting these things. Yeah,
collectibles are fun. That's tough to pull off. I remember being really annoyed with the collectibles in Grand Theft Auto IV, and even in Saints Row the Third. It just, the pallets of sex dolls and pallets of money, I think they were. It's just, I couldn't get interested in it.
And these are different because, like, throughout the course of just navigating across the city, there are these big glowing blue orbs, right? Or, you know, areas that, like, as you are flying above the city, you see, like, oh, there's a bunch over there, and I can kind of see a line that I can go on. I'll just go get them. And then just throughout the course of crossing the city in these lines, you get enough that, you know, you get enough to help you upgrade. Right.
So Ben, is this gonna ruin Grand Theft Auto V for you because you can't get around this way?
No.
I feel like I've been dominating this conversation.
You've been quite the dominatrix on this.
Dominator, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's Dominator Punk.
Do you guys want to fight or something? We can wow. Fight. No, let's talk about the game. So I'm like a mission out, I think, from the ending of it. I think it's titled like the final mission or something. So I assume they're not lying, but I don't know. So I mean, I've liked it, but you know, ultimately I see it. I didn't know that it was supposed to be an expansion of the third one, but that really makes sense because it's definitely an upgraded version of it, but it's there's some aspects of the game that kind of make it, that differentiate it from the third one, but there's a big overlap of gameplay where they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
So in one lens you can see this as just an expansion of the third one, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the third one was a lot of fun, and this one is a pretty good amount of fun. So
yeah. So, like, that speaks to one of my complaints, like my biggest one. It's really repetitive in a lot of regards.
Oh, yeah?
And it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm doing, you know, optional missions, which you do, right? Just, like, as they pop up between. And so, like, especially the ones with Keith David. Oh, did I mention that your lieutenant is voice actor Keith David? The guy who plays the Admiral in Mass Effect 2.
Which they draw attention to.
Yeah, they do it at every turn. And also, the guy, like Keith David voiced a villain in an earlier game. And that's how they draw attention to it. Like, you sound just like this, like, don't worry about it. You know this one, right, Dennis? The voice options are male 1 through 3, female 1 through 3, and Nolan North.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that yet. That's amazing.
It's just Nolan North.
Is it actually Nolan North?
Yeah.
Yes. And he periodically refers to himself as Nolan. Like, yeah, that's how Nolan does it in the game.
Yeah. Which I picked accidentally instead of the British one, which I usually, you know, take. And so, like, I played until I found my first plastic surgery place, played as Nolan North, and it was really great.
that's phenomenal.
Video game, the game.
Yeah.
I so wish I could remember where I heard that, but it's so apt. Like, that sounds like a joke that we or other people who talk about games would make, just like, oh, why don't they just, well, they did. So back to the repetition thing. So like the Keith David missions, like a bunch of them, you know, kind of like boil down to repeat the same couple of tasks, and they get a little bit long. So instead of just like go to this one place and, you know, kill off a couple of waves, it's like go to one place and kill off a couple of waves, then do a fraud mission where you're like, you know, bouncing yourself around in traffic. Oh, and then hijack this thing. It's like five of these little mini missions that are like strung out. Which should feel varied, but it's like I'm just kind of doing the same five things in a loop for this dude. So
yeah, I think side missions is kind of a strong word to describe what you're doing. I mean, they're just giving you a way to go through the map and complete all the missions that they have set out. So it's like they're basically semi-structuring what you may have done in Saints Row the Third, essentially. Yeah.
So that's a little bit upsetting, just because they put that next to like the Kinsey missions, or I don't even want to say the other NPCs, you know, like right next to those, which do tend to have like bespoke content, as opposed to saying X is like Y thing from our campaign trail.
Yeah. Which was nice in Saints Row the Third, because it's like I did this as an introduction. If I liked it, I know exactly where to go to get more of it. If I didn't like it, I can avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say that they made the missions, like the general missions around the map, they made those more difficult in this one than in Saints Row the Third.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. I was so entitled, used to getting golds on my first try. No longer.
Yeah. So I don't quite know how far along I am. I'm enjoying playing it, and I can see myself seeing it through.
Can you codedly tell me where you're at?
I just let me see here. No,
or
I can't.
Or can you put it in 50s slang for me?
No, I can't.
What?
No, I can't, Daddy-o. Sorry, I can't. You stumped me.
All right.
Yeah. How about you? Well, you're probably further than me because you play games really fast.
I do work.
You do. Oh man.
Yeah. I think I'm about to beat it, so I will probably try and do that after this podcast if I don't play The Last of Us.
Ah, neat. Yep. Anything else to say about Saints Row 4? I'm really enjoying it. Except for the repetition.
I really look forward to stealing it from you.
Yeah,
that's why I offered to buy you a beer earlier.
Yeah, it's like, buy you a beer or eight.
Tell me about your problem.
I swear to God, the next time I see you, you're getting Saints Row the Third back, and then we're going to do an entire segment where I just ask you, so do you have Saints Row? And you're going to answer yes, and I'm just going to do that about 50 times.
Yeah.
I bet you that's took my car keys.
Yes, Dennis stole my identity.
You know what's really disappointing to me, Cole, is you haven't complained once about not having Silent Hill.
Yeah, you know what? I've played and beaten that so many times. I'm more upset that you haven't played it and beaten it yet.
I know. I've got all these secret shames. All these very public shames of great media that I need to consume.
Which Silent Hill?
First one.
I started playing the third one, and Cole was like, whoa, 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 whoa. First things first.
Yeah. I have such a terrible track record with you because I lent you Silent Hill 5 and you got it stolen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was one of the games you had stolen? Yeah. Don't lend me games. What are you doing?
I know. Well, you keep plying me with liquor. You keep plying me
Which
with
one's
liquor.
Silent Hill 5?
Homecoming.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't say that to make you feel bad. That one was not your fault. However...
No, it really. I am not to be trusted with these games.
Yeah. So. Ben, have you been playing anything else?
I was trying to think of that. I don't think so. I think that's all I've been playing.
Okay. I have not been playing much else than that thing we talked about. Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out. However, I realized that I have never once beaten that game. I've just gotten 4/5 of the way through on about 10 different devices.
That's funny.
Oh, good.
The first one?
Yeah. So the first one. So I've been working on getting all the way through that on my iPad here, because that's the one that I have that's closest.
Where are you at right now?
I'm in the pool.
Gotcha.
The backyard. Yep. So I don't know if I'll talk about Plants vs. Zombies because it is literally a 10-year-old game. When I get to Plants vs. Zombies 2, I'll talk about it because it looks real fun.
What have they upgraded in it?
I haven't played. I don't know. I know that they added a bunch of free-to-play shit. Like, you don't buy it, which, again, really kind of weirds me out because I would really like to just pay them $4 and own their game outright. But, you know, it looks... I see, like, on the title art, I see a bunch of really neat looking plants and a bunch of really neat looking zombies. So it's just such a well designed game. I like the loop behind it, which is just playing around until something sticks. You have the same basic strategy, and then you're just adapting, which is neat. That's really fun.
Plus, they make zombies so endearing.
Hey, it's such a fun little aesthetic that it has. Yeah. How about you, Dennis? What you been playing while you've been away?
Yeah, I've got quite the backlog built up. So I'll try to go through everything quickly because I've kind of been dabbling in a lot. Lots of The Last of Us multiplayer, which if anyone listening wants to do The Last of Us multiplayer, hit me up. Green Laser, GRENLASER on PSN, and we'll hang out. It's a good time. I've been playing an old game, Jet Set Radio.
Huh. Was that a PS Plus thing?
Yep. Yeah. It's a PS1 game. You run around, you graffiti stuff, you grind stuff.
Incorrect. Dreamcast.
Oh, but I think it came out on PS. Maybe.
Nope.
No, maybe not. Anyway, it's called Jet Set Radio. I think that in America it was called Jet Grind Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And for a game with grind.
Yeah.
For a game with grind in the title, the grinding is remarkably bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of it is a function of the you know, just the era, but it's like impossible to hit the rails that you want to hit, and like you'll miss by just a tiny little margin. It's like what else was I trying to do but get on that rail? You think you could give me, you know, the benefit of the doubt.
You know,
so.
like around the year 2000, 1999, 2000, that was the era of the grind.
Yeah,
and I think almost specifically on Dreamcast games too, because you had the grinding in Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, where all of a sudden, you know, Sonic was sponsored by Vans soaps, you know, the shoes that had the plastic plates on the bottom, so you could it was like a precursor to Heelys, except it, you know, was more likely to injure you by ways of not being smacked by me. So
yeah.
So, but yeah, just like that, like that was the era of like, well, we have to put grinding in our game and also Dracula.
Yeah. But I mean grinding is actually a central part of this game. It just works incredibly poorly, but it, you know, that's ameliorated by the fact that the rest of the game is so incredibly fun,
right?
And the aesthetic is just so incredibly spot on, like the way the game looks, the soundtrack for the game,
especially Dracula.
She touched my leg.
She touched my. But it's just, yeah, this is an absolutely beautiful game. I think it's one of the first instances of the whole cell shading aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like one of the first ones that did that.
Cell shading aesthetic. Shell shading. Cell shading.
She sells cell shading down.
Yeah. That thing that you do with the thing where it looks cool.
Yeah, it makes it look like it's an inked drawing.
Oh, yeah, that holds up so well.
Yeah.
Holds up really, really well. And the music is just fun, and it's like you just play the game and you feel good, you know? So that's been fun. I've been playing Cave Story, which I've seen you doing that. Yeah. I got close to beating it a long time ago and never actually beat it. So this is me going back through another game that you play and you feel good. Like game is
by Cave Story. Do you mean the cave?
No. Two very different games. Very different games. This one's like a, pixelated indie, shooting platformer, it controls really well, feels really good. And it's got a very cute kind of aesthetic to it.
It's like, let's see here. Let's say Gunstar Heroes meets Castlevania or meets Super Metroid.
Yeah. Meets I'm just like, it's the feel to the storytelling and everything has that Nintendo quality too, where everything's almost kind of got a little smile.
It's super chipper, even when it's being like somber and quite frankly depressing.
Yeah, and there's some depressing shit in there. Like, but yeah, it's I really like that all, like, every character in the game, even the bad guys, you just, like, you understand them. They're realistically motivated, I guess the way to say it is. And that sounds like I'm overanalyzing it, which I probably am. But just, like, you know, none of the bad guys are just the wah-ha-ha bad guys. Like, they're all doing their stuff for a reason, and you can kind of understand and relate. I absolutely love the very first boss fight. You know, they stick this baddie on you, and he's like, oh, you're going to come at me with that pea shooter? And you can answer no, and he's like, oh, okay. I'm going to go home then. And that's the end of the first boss fight. So that's adorable. I love that.
Yeah.
So, I'm hopefully going to beat it this time, and I'm enjoying that.
That's one of those things. I'm so happy that that's as successful as it is.
Yeah. Like what a great, that's just, yeah, that's what games, you know, I know, like, we've had some great discussion on Facebook about games as art, but like that's just as valid and just as much a showing off the potential of games as any deep, depressing, gritty thing.
But like he put it out for free like 15 years ago. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but a long time ago. And it existed for free until, like, not that long ago. And you can buy it a bunch of times. I mean, like, there's, like, the regular versions on the 3DS eShop. There's, like, a full update version for the 3DS. You know, it's on Steam. It's been in a couple of Humble Bundles. Just, like, it's out there, and you have to assume that the guy's making some money off of it, so.
Yeah, and thoroughly worth playing, so. Yeah. And then the final game I've been playing was actually a gift from one of the people we'll talk to later. But thank you very much, OMGamoose, which I feel like I have to say it that way.
OMGamoose.
I'm not even going to try the first name. But yeah, he had an extra copy of it from a bundle and sent it my way. And so I've been playing Castle Crashers, and it is absolutely phenomenal. Really, really enjoying playing it. I need some people to play with. So again, if you want to hit me up, find me on Steam. Basically, I'm lonely, guys. Come play with me. Hang out with me, please.
We have a Steam group.
We do have a Steam. We haven't plugged that in a while. So join our Steam group.
Yeah.
And we'll play Castle Crashers because it's a lot of fun by myself. So I can't wait to see how it is in a group, which I understand is really the core of that game.
Yeah. Just based on its pedigree too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the arcade games, like I guess Double Dragon isn't exactly that accurate, but I don't know.
I just feel so much better. I've played Double Dragon, and I liked Double Dragon, but this plays so much better than Double Dragon. It's just got it's got a really
I misspoke. I meant to say Double Dribble.
But this it's got just enough, you know, depth to the whole beat 'em up thing that you can mash buttons and have fun, or you can add a little flair to it and be a little more precise with it and get rewarded for that. And that's exactly what a beat 'em up should do.
Yeah. And just like all the behemoth guys games, it looks really good. It's got like a nice kind of like hand-drawn
Yeah, and it's like visually humorous. Like seeing yourself get hit is funny because his like eyes bulge out and he, you know, it's just the whole game looks slightly funny, and that's a good, very good thing. So
So if you're looking to join if you're looking to join the level Steam group on Steam, going down to the lake to sing songs to the lake about the lake, just do a search for the Level Podcast. It should come up. There's a URL, but Steam's interface is atrocious, so I can't find it.
That's what show notes are for,
I suppose. Probably still not going to do that. it's steamcommunity.com/group/thelevelpodcast. And that actually is going into the group or into the show notes because I can copy and paste it.
Nice.
That's what it takes.
We need to get me set. I realized, I guess even though I've got admin, and sorry, this is behind the scenes stuff, even though I've got admin status, I can't set up events. So I got to figure out how that works. But yeah, we'll get that going. We'll do that thing. So yeah, thank you for a wonderful game, OMGamoose.
I would like to do this makes me feel like shit. People send us stuff, and we really appreciate it, but I don't know how to react to that.
It's like someone offering to buy you coffee when you go hang out with them. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, do you protest? But then I don't think I've ever won a fight where I'm like, oh, no, you can't pay for me. And right. I'm super honored by it. It's awesome. And I you know, all these gifts have been opportunities for me to connect more and play more with the person giving them in one way or another. And that's the way I view it. And I absolutely love to hang out with people who listen to the show, and just cause you guys are phenomenal and you guys are awesome. And so make me less lonely and let's play games together.
Agree to shop first. is that everything?
I would like to say I haven't received any gifts yet.
Well, you're not on Steam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, it's so easy to gift people things on Steam. And now that you said this, people are going to write in and ask, and I'm going to let them know how to do it. Oh, well. And now I feel like I'm exploiting everybody.
That's right. No more podcasts until I get at least $100,000 worth of stuff. No, seriously, thank you, everyone. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
I feel like we're belaboring the point now. Let us continue.
Yes.
Multiplayer.
Oh, time for the multiplayer, where we talk about things that we ask you to talk about. What? Sorry. I find that I do that. I say a nonsense thing and then I follow it up with what?
Listen, it's called being self-aware. It's all right.
Yeah. So why don't you let people know what the prompt was as I pull up the prompt?
Yeah. So the prompt is all about keeping it classy. Which is what class type, you know, like a tank or a healer or whatever, do you gravitate towards in MMOs and RPGs, and why? It's a little personality test for y'all here.
Yeah, yeah. You are being judged accordingly. Yeah. Ben, what's Robert say?
Robert says, when I play solo, I tend to play hybrid classes because I like the ability to fill any role. And WoW, I usually play as a paladin or a druid. If I play with my wife, I'm stuck playing a healer. Womp womp. And D&D, if I'm not DMing, I usually get stuck playing the cleric because someone's got to be the cleric.
Womp.
Robert's quite sacrificial, it sounds.
Yeah, I know. He's stepping up.
Take him on for Robert. The team.
He's responding to the call to serve. Yeah. Yeah.
It is interesting. Like, people drew a very clear distinction between, like, soloing and playing in a group.
Well, they're different things.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's a little weird because, you know, especially WoW has made it, like, everything is soloable. Like, group play is almost the exception.
Can you say that word again?
Everything is soloable.
All right. Yeah.
Did I say it weird?
No. I just like the word soloable.
So, no, you put too many lols in there.
Soloable.
There's too many lols in there, said nobody about this podcast. but just especially like from 1 to 85 or whatever the level cap is, you can just solo if you're patient enough. Whereas I think in the early days of WoW and definitely in EverQuest, fifth EverQuest call I'd have made this episode. it's very much made for you to always fit into a role.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I, you know, there's this line between like accessibility and then that special element that team play brings.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to straddle.
Yeah. That brings out the clerics in us. Let's see here. Ryan Halter on Facebook says, MMOs, pet classes / utility DPS, and crowd control. The former tend to be able to solo relatively well, and the latter make for more active play experience while not having too much difficulty finding groups. RPGs are harder to pigeonhole depending on the genre, and because you're frequently running a party versus just one character. I usually default to a healer or tank hybrid. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a similar experience just because the AI on healing yourself is so damn bad for all my NPCs, just in general with my RPG experiences, that it's like you almost have to take over that role or else everyone's going to get themselves killed.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and do mine just because I don't really have much of an answer. I don't play very much in the way of multiplayer games, but in EverQuest I played a paladin. just because that's what I rolled, and I kind of fell into that nicely, just as a tank and an emergency healer. I like being a cleric. Like, when I played WoW, I was a priest or whatever it was, because you could spec to do damage as well. Like, there was a very specific kind that you could do that was really easy to solo, and you wouldn't have trouble finding groups if that was ever anything that you wanted to do. And in single-player RPGs, mostly it's I said this was short, but I lied. Mostly it's, like, rogue. Like, if I can play by being a sneaky-talky dude, I like being a talky-sneaky dude, right?
Yeah. Talky, I'm with you. Sneaky, we'll get into this, because someone else talked about this in a little bit. We'll get into this. I'll just say.
Well, why don't you just say it, then?
I'm not going to hold it back anymore.
Yeah, dude, just say it.
Say your piece, dog.
I have never played a critical hit centric character that I've enjoyed. I don't know what bone in my body I'm missing to enjoy that. It's just
is it the bone that has played Knights of the Old Republic?
I guess, maybe. I don't know. It's I don't like leaving that much up to. I guess it's not chance, but
yeah, it literally is chance. Yeah. In that case, it's die rolls. It's about as chancy as you can get without it being a Pokemon game.
Oh yeah. I don't like not seeing big numbers every time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I see. So you're for the consistent line as opposed to the spikes and valleys.
Yeah.
Rogues were fun in WoW just because everything was dependent. Like if you got a critical hit, that sets you up to do a bunch of different stuff. So they were fun in PvP because you could stunlock people if you got your crit rate high enough. I don't know if that's still true. This is true circa like 2005, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say 6 years ago, but that's seven, 8 years ago. So.
So my capacity for date math like deteriorates whenever WoW comes out. I think at one point I claimed that WoW came out 9 years ago, which might be true. Okay, so six, yeah, it was 9 years ago, 2004, winter 2004. Huh. So yeah.
Nuts.
It is nuts. What do you like to play? I mean, you said what you
do. Yeah. No, I so it's a little bit different for MMOs versus RPGs, which is why I made the distinction in the question. In MMOs, I definitely like to do ranged damage. So I'll play a glass cannon every time. And then in RPGs, it's like the opposite end of the spectrum. I just go for the biggest, heaviest two-handed weapon that I can, and I'm just like strength all the way, tank it. And just big oversized clubs, axes, you name it. If you can't physically lift it in real life, then I'm for it.
You're speaking specifically to Dark Souls at this point, because your question in that game was to find the biggest club possible.
And now I'm working towards being able to dual wield it, so that'll be good. Dragon Age, I played that way. My general heuristic goes two-handed, big, heavy, tank kind of person, range damage dealer. For whatever reason, that's flipped in MMOs. And then on to probably, your generic, class.
You played City of Heroes. That's why you say range damage dealer, right? Because you were a blaster in that?
Right, yeah. I think it was blaster, ranger, whatever they called it, yeah.
Yeah. Man, I only played City of Heroes for like 2 months, but I liked it a lot.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's okay. Saints Row 4 is Cities of Heroes. So.
Yeah, that's true. I did make that comparison, didn't I? Oh, man. Ben, what does Sam say?
Sam says, I would love it if more things had competent asymmetric. Is that how you spell asymmetric? Asymmetric multiplayer. As such, I almost always support a class like healer or crowd controller, trying to give life to the idea of a group of specialists solving something instead of a bunch of tanks wailing on shit. Gotta play Mass Effect if you want to do that.
Yeah. Although, like in Mass Effect, my party composition is almost always hybrids. Like, I roll as a Vanguard, and then I bring along Garrus, who is, tech and combat, and then like Liara just as a pure as pure biotic. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. They're like it does expand to that. Yeah, a group of specialists like this is what, man. I need to like break down and play a Monaco. I'm sure if David was here, he would talk about Payday the Heist. But just the idea of a group of specialists. I want a like bank heist game, like a think Ocean's 11 or something, where I can play as the guy in the van with the communicator, like like looking through the closed circuit television and opening doors and distracting guards and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, question: what did you think of the bank robbery robbery mission in Vice City?
I loved it. That was so good.
Yeah. All right. Good. I just wanted to talk about that. Sorry.
Even the one in 4 was pretty good too. Like that was like one of the best missions in the game to my mind.
Yeah, just because of getting that gun and whatever. All right, yeah.
And I'm sure somebody like listening is going to recommend the game that I'm talking about, where you can play as the guy in the van who screams "Get out of there! Get out of there!" Like, I know the Gunpoint is a thing. I just need to buy it.
The game is called Gunpoint?
Yeah, there's a game called Gunpoint where you're like a corporate spy, it's a stealth game, but you get around by rewiring different devices in the building, so you can hook up the elevator door to the light switch, so like when they try and turn on the elevator, when they try and turn on the lights, it activates the elevator for you, stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I know that's a thing, but I literally want to be the guy who's just like shouting commands at people. That'd be fun.
It seems like Watch Dogs might even have some elements of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it does, because it has, like, the rewire on the fly and, you know, cut power to the whole city thing.
Yeah, I think they demoed a mission at E3 where it's, like, you're looking through security cameras and guiding a guy through.
Mm, yeah, like with the iPad play.
Hmm?
What were you going to say, Ben?
I was going to say, I think the game that you were talking about, Cole, might be interesting, especially the option to just drive off and leave everybody.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind
things
of like
go south.
Ah, peace. Later, boners. Yeah. Let's see here. Dennis, what's Murph say?
Yeah, he says, as a recovering WoW addict, I liked playing tanks the best. This was a function of it was super easy to find a group for a dungeon if you were a tank, but more importantly, there was a leadership role you had to take on. A good tank controls the pace, lays out the strategy, and some of the better gameplay moments where when a pull goes wrong and it's on you to salvage it. You are the backbone of the party and everything depends on you. In single-player games, I really like classes with high mobility. There's a joy in highly kinetic play, so I'm a sucker for any class that has a high amount of critical hits. Seeing giant red bold numbers flash on the screen is so satisfying. These things tend to combine into a rogue or thief class, which is what I find myself playing most often.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't totally relate on the tank side. Can't relate on the crit side.
Yeah, you know, there's like a slot machine element to the crits. I find just kind of like, you know, like what's going to happen here, and it's actually a great way to have control over your damage output, right? Like, mm-hmm. You're just focused on, I need to get that crit rate as high as possible, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, him talking about the role of the tank in an MMO made me think of linemen in football.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people don't realize this if they haven't played the game or whatever, but the center is really the true leader of the team and is like responsible for everything he just described, you know, control the pace, lay out the strategy, you know, audible when things go wrong, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So much, and are usually super big and oversized. So much of
games is like football. It's crazy.
You know, that's one of the things I think about while I mow the yard.
Mm-hmm.
There's like three or four subjects that just occupy my mind while I'm mowing. That's one of them. Is just like there's really got to be a good like football RPG hybrid. And I'm sure some of the Madden games already have this element built into them.
Kind of.
Yeah, like, where you can play a player through the season and you only play their position for plays.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, more overtly kind of tease out the different, you know, it's to not Sam's point, to
go more in depth. Is that what you're meaning?
Yeah, to Sam's point about everyone has a very unique role to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And football is very much that way, so.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a Madden with the you know, the season kind of thing. If you're playing as, I guess, like Road to the Super Bowl or something like that, you're building your character and your stats. And if you're building your team, it's like making a party.
Yeah, right? I would play a football game where, you know, you're like that just went at fall, and you can like buff your critical hit rate as a defensive end or something like that. You know,
I think you're describing Blitz the League, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's what you're doing. Like, and that takes it in more of like a, you know, gritty, like violent kind of direction.
Yeah, without that.
Yeah, yeah. So you just like regular, where it's not. You know,
is there much of a market choices. For a whimsical football game?
Maybe. I don't know. I think that. I don't know. There is a game. It's based on a board game, so I'm not quite sure how actually active it is. I know it's on 360 and maybe on PC. It's called Blood Bowl. But that is like zombies and robots playing football against each other. So I have less than no interest in football. Like, I can sit down and watch watch a game being played, you know, like, just like, it's not entirely just like, I know what's happening. I'm really happy that I played it for a year in middle school.
Oh yeah. What did you play?
I was like third string, like offensive tackle. It was like the place they put me where I could do the least amount of damage.
Same here. Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, it's one of those things. Like, I'm not like super literate on a lot of like manly stuff, but you know, at least I'm not entirely hopeless.
Yeah. But football has a relatively very high, cost of entry. And just in terms of like, you have to be able to understand the strategies and the different positions to a certain extent before it becomes just like 5 minutes of waiting between 10 seconds of action. And why the hell am I wasting my time on this?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I've never been to a football game, like, you know, like physically, like where I really like going, I really like going to a baseball game or to a hockey match, but I couldn't stand to watch it on TV. So I can't speak to that. About what it's like to be there, but I don't know. Teamwork. Yeah.
Welcome to Football Cast.
Man.
Why don't we get back to an area where we know what the hell we're talking about?
So out of our depth. So let's see here. I'm pretty sure this isn't his real name, although he is a fantastic supporter of the network. Rev Domzahis Omgamus.
Omgamus.
Omgamus. Is his avatar as a moose. It's literally OMG, and then a picture of a cartoon moose, which is pretty cool if you drew that. That's good. He says, for group play, I tend towards the healer class, not because I find it the most fun. It is usually the least fun, but because it's the easiest to find groups with. So I have less downtime. Also, there is the fact that if I don't, the chances are high of ending up with someone who is who is terrible at it, causing everyone in the group endless grief. In a non MMO setting, though, crowd control classes are fun. I think it's just that the class mechanics seem to line up best with many people's favorite pastime in games, asshole physics. You're aware of asshole physics, right?
No, lay it down for me.
So any game that has a physics system and like general innocent populace.
Oh, yes.
So like throwing cans at the downtrodden in Half-Life 2.
Yes.
Yeah. So with that, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to manipulate these sweet skeletons to just make hell for these people for no reason. Yeah.
We talked about that when I was talking about throwing people down the stairs in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, yeah.
Good times.
Mm-hmm. SpookySkeletonPics.tumblr.com. sorry, anytime skeletons are mentioned, I have to point people to that, as you do. Ben, why don't you take us home with Christopher?
Yeah, so Christopher Schley says, in regular non-MMO RPGs, I tend to be either some sort of ranger class because I love being the bow and arrow guy, because just like in real life, I would never get up into anyone's face because they totally pound the shit out of me. I'll do it from a distance and hope that I'm quick enough with the bow to split their body into two before they reach me. So that or rogue for the same reason. Sneaking about is totally my cup of tea. That's also why I prefer my shooters to be a bit more like Deus Ex or Hitman, or even grunt from half of the level, a Dishonored.
I think at this point it's like, okay, so Dennis isn't entirely anti-Dishonored. I am neutral at this point, having not played it. It's Dennis.
Actively disliked by
half. Okay, so he's right. For some reason, I thought that Dennis had joined the hate train. So
About to, just because I can't think for myself and just go with whatever.
It's the cool thing to do.
Your prejudice.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Continue.
I don't care for storming into a room and blasting people into chunky meat bits. so he doesn't like fallout. I want to pick them off from an oversized ventilation shaft. So basically, I like to fight in games in the most unfair way possible. So he must have been odd job as a kid.
That's funny.
Oh man, yeah, you're right. So being a, so odd job and Boris, they're kind of were classes in GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you didn't have a house rule against odd job.
And who didn't?
Yeah, no, that was just atrocious. Hated that kid. Fuck that Corey.
Anyway,
you're just mad because he could get to him first.
Damn it. Anyway, now it's always Boris. That was kind of he was more human sized than Oddjob, but
he's invincible.
That was my theory. You see right through it. Oh man. Yeah, so bunch of response. Thank you so much, everybody. Any parting words before we take it home?
So I never said my answer.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. I thought that we got them all. Tell me.
It's all right. I'm not offended because I don't really have an answer. Which is probably part of the reason why I never jumped in.
You mentioned Coder there. Like, what do you usually do in Coder?
Well, that's the thing. So I was jogging my mind of all the different games that I've played. I don't really play a lot of MMOs, so I was going through all the RPGs I play and trying to figure out if there was a common theme for the classes. Perhaps ranged is the best I can come up with. Because like in Skyrim, I did bow and arrow. For Coder, I just got to Whirlwind and then used that the entire time. And so, yeah, I think probably ranged. In Fallout, I know I shot people a whole bunch. I never went with the...
And Fallout, like close-up combat was the rarity. I got the sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how... Because, Dennis, didn't you do... Aren't you doing swords in Skyrim?
Me? No. That might be David. I don't know. I haven't played Skyrim.
Yeah, David's been playing Skyrim as of late.
Maybe that's who's been doing it then. I don't know how that's possible, man.
Skyrim, Elder Scrolls seems more set up for that.
For sword?
Yeah, for swords, just because... like
over
just,
bow and arrows?
Definitely. Like the majority of things that you fight in Fallout can shoot back at you, except in like ghouls and some of the monstrosities.
Oh, okay. Right? Sorry. I thought you were saying it was more set up for swords than it was for bow and arrows in Skyrim.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, so it's more set up... Skyrim is more set up for swords than Fallout is set up for any kind of close range combat. I suppose that's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
I too play as ranged. I play as like a spell archer or whatever is what I usually fall into in those games, right?
Shoot magic and arrows and magic arrows.
Yes.
here's my question, and I'd be interested. Maybe we can discuss this on the Facebook page or something. I wonder how much like the first class that you choose, you know, like the first time you boot up an MMO and you're like, I don't know this one. How much that affects your decision making on what to be long term?
Oh, just like rationalizing, like I've always been.
I was born this way, man.
I don't know.
I think one thing with games that have different paths or whatever is I feel like the difficulty ramps up differently depending upon what route you take. So I think if you ever try like a stealth route, I feel like that gets like irrationally hard towards the end of the game. Whereas if you do like some sort of combat route, that stays about the same level of difficulty all the way through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I might be a little bit of a test example for this because... When I first, like the first MMO that I played was EverQuest, and I gravitated towards the role playing server.
Towards the what?
I immediately went for the role playing server just because I was interested in that. And you can only have one character at a time, or at the time, you can only have one character on that server. So I rolled the Paladin, and that is still the only character that I have on that server. But when I got to WoW, the reason I never got anything to the level cap, whatever the level cap was at the time that I was playing it, was because I was just firing up alts all the time in order to play as much of the game as possible, right? To get a feel. Mm-hmm. So I've probably played like every class in WoW.
That phrase makes it sound like it's like a drug addiction or something. You like, know, just fire it up whenever I got home. Would it take the edge off?
I guess. I don't know. Hmm.
Yep, that's a thing.
Hey, are you firing up right now, Cole?
No. All right. X is out of a win. No, I haven't played WoW in years. I haven't played WoW in years. I assure you. Stop judging me, Dad. No. It's but yeah. So I think that people are a little bit more experimental than that.
Yeah, and probably the restrictions around number of characters and everything are a little more conducive to that than they used to be.
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, free-to-play games are like, you know, pay us $1 a month for every character you want to have beyond the first three or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, the economics are changing.
The times there are changing.
Papers, business, papers. Yeah. Huh. So yeah, thank you everybody for weighing in. If you want to participate in the conversation, it's facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. And you can see that stuff there. Are we ready to button it up?
I think so.
Cool. Ben?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to
make sure. The credit. I need to get a bell to speak for me.
I don't want to automate the process. I want it to be natural. So we're gonna skip end bosses because I'm tired. It's been a long time for me recently. No, but we'll get back to that eventually, I assume. So we're just gonna take it on home. I want to thank you so much for listening. We're gonna keep the admin kind of short. Check out the other shows on the network. We have a new one that is kind of being spearheaded by Gary from Watch Out for Fireballs and Bonfireside Chat. It is called Pilot Season, where every 2 weeks there is a new show with a new premise. I am on the first two episodes. The one that's out now, it is an NPR show about skeletons. So I recommend you check that out. That also has another duck feeder, Brayton Cameron, on there. Talking about skeletons. It is really funny. I recommend that you that everybody gives that a look. See, let's see here. We did that. We mentioned the Facebook. We do the Twitter stuff at the end. If you want to support the network, it's duckfeed.tv/tipjar. If you're gonna be buying any stuff for school, all that time probably has passed. Oh man, it's just keeps on slipping, you guys. It's duckfeed. Stop it. It's duckfeed.tv/tipjar.
Let's go watch Space Jam.
Yeah. Oh, love that.
Oh man. I'm actually not gonna do that.
That's how you know you guys are old.
Yeah, knows what Space Jam is. Can't express affection for Space Jam. Yep. If you buy anything on Amazon, go there. We get a little cut of that. And that helps support things like the network, bandwidth, hosting, all of that. Makes it so that this doesn't cost us money. Am I missing anything, guys?
I've got just a thought, if I may be so bold.
I will determine that.
You can judge.
I will determine if you may or may not. I determine what is early and what is late.
The bonus levels, I think we all enjoy doing them, and clearly you guys enjoy listening to them. So if there are any games that you feel have real merit and are worth playing and talking about, I'd be interested to hear people's thoughts on what games might be worth a bonus level.
Yeah. So, you know, the usual, you know, the channels get a hold of us on that. You know, let us know. We've done quite a string of them. We did Gone Home here recently. We did The Last of Us. Like right now, the formula for determining which of those we do is pretty much just what have we played recently?
What are we enjoying?
Yeah. So if there's something else that you know, that you think would be worthwhile, that definitely all that stuff that Dennis just said. So. Cool. So let's take it home. I am Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter, KOLEROSS. I know it's spelled weird.
I am Dennis Furia, at D Furia on Twitter, DFURIA. It's not really spelled weird, but you know.
And I'm Ben Merkel, at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Yes. And if you're interested in following our erstwhile co-host, David, he is MoneySmith777. But in the meantime, it is time that we took it home. I don't really have a snappy outro, so just be safe.
Mm-hmm. Keep it classy.
I guess he's not erstwhile. Okay, so that means formerly.
Really?
Yeah.
Erstwhile?
Yeah, Erstwhile. Like, I thought it was like in the meantime recently, but Erstwhile. He is not our former co-host, so don't.
I was just saying, well, has anyone heard from him in the past couple
Erst
of days?
Erst means like, first in German.
Huh.
Erst.
Hmm.
Zu Erst.
Yeah, so please forgive my misappropriation or my misapprehension of archaic phraseology. And also be safe. I desperately wish there was a better solution than Skype.
Yeah.
It's like there just occasionally is choppy water.
For audio right now, or
no, it's like just occasionally on the great sea of internet Skype, there is just like you just hit choppy water. It's like, oh boy, we got to weather this storm. We got to go below deck and reconnect.
Yeah,
nautical metaphors for telephony.
Telephony.
No. That's the title.
Old telephony.
Nautical metaphors for telephony.
Telephony as in having properties of a telephone.
But being artificial about them.
Oh, of course. Telephony, a telephone in Catcher in the Rye. Oh, there we go. I was worried we wouldn't have any post-roll, but there we go.
Ta-da!